Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the second chapter. After a few days, Jesus returned to Capernaum, and word got around that he was back home. A crowd gathered, jamming the entrance so no one could get in or out. He was teaching the word. They brought a paraplegic to him, carried by four people. When they weren't able to get in because of the crowd, they removed part of the roof and lowered the paraplegic on a stretcher. Impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, "My child, I forgive your sins." May we receive a blessing in the hearing of these words.
So we have been talking about butterflies, noticing how butterflies remind us of our own spiritual life, and it is an amazing journey, the life of a butterfly. And we are finding ourselves in the butterfly's story. We started in the darkness of a cocoon, and then called out of a place that is painful or comfortable. We hear a call to emerge, of coming out, leaving the darkness, opening up to the light, unfolding, unfurling, claiming new possibilities, and then letting go, leaving behind what we no longer need. And today, we're going to see the butterfly fly, daring to new heights. Not just fly, but fly and travel and go places it never dreamed. Jesus did that for the paralytic in today's gospel, and Jesus does it for us too. Blake Leeper was born without legs. He couldn't walk. He was born without legs below the knees. And perhaps the paralytic in our story was a person without legs. Blake's parents and those around him would not allow him to live lying down. And at 9 months old, he got his first leg prosthetics. He learned to walk. He ended up playing sports. He tells a story when he was 7 years old playing baseball. And he hit the ball for a home run. Well, it would have been a home run, but as he was rounding the bases, one of his prosthetic legs fell off, and down he went. And his family and friends came and lifted him up. He went on to continue playing sports through high school. In college, he saw his first Paralympic Games, and he saw Oscar Pistorius set a new world record on running blades, and it lit him on fire. He got a set of running blades, and he talks about how those blades moved him from stillness to flying. He became a Paralympic champion himself, set a world record. He was determined to be fast. And he had family and friends around him who lifted him and made it possible. Our secretary, Gail, who is in a wheelchair, if you've seen her, told me about Justin and Patrick. They were lifelong friends. They grew up together. They went to school together, they went to college together, they were best man in each other's weddings. And then Justin developed a neuromuscular disease where he slowly lost the ability to move his arms and legs. And they were still best friends. Patrick was there caring for him. And they were determined to live life at the fullest. Justin saw a PBS show with Rick Steves about the Camino de Santiago. And was talking with Patrick about it, and wouldn't that be great? And Patrick said, "Let's do it. I'll push you. Take a look to you." My family and I watched it last night. It was fabulous. It won all kinds of awards. It was really well done. Patrick and Justin are from Boise. So it was amazing to hear their story. I did not realize they were from Boise. You can tell that Patrick did a lot of pushing, but there were others. There were friends who came over for a portion and helped. And there were pilgrims along the way. One of the stories, there's a portion along the Camino where you go up a high hill and back down. And it's not the Pyrenees, it's another spot. But it's beautiful. And Patrick was reflecting and saying, it's going to be so much to go up and then back down. And because I think we'll just take a taxi today and go around it. And as they were getting ready in the morning, a group, like it looked like 10 other pilgrims, said, "We've talked about it. We're gonna go up the hill and back down with you." And they took them. And so there was this whole huge group pushing up the hill and back down the other side. Today, Justin and Patrick lead tours of other folks in wheelchairs and volunteers who come along to push them for on the Camino. They do the 100 kilometers that I did. And then they all experience the Camino together. In order to fly, we have to be dedicated to our own healing. We have to be dedicated to flying. And we need others. We need others who make it possible, who in our gospel story rip open the roof. In today's account from the gospel, we hear about a paraplegic, a paralytic. We don't know if it's a man or a woman. Mark's gospel is the most curt of all the gospels. So if a story can be told in 500 words, Mark does it in 50, leaves out lots of details. So we don't know if it's a man or a woman. We don't know if they're paralyzed or if they were born without legs. We don't know if it was a lifelong condition or if it was something that developed later in life, like for Justin and for Gail. But we do know we have a person who can't walk. And then others got them to Jesus. We aren't told who these others are. It literally says they came. Was it friends and family? Was it people who were coming to hear Jesus speak and they met along the way? But we are told it was so crowded that they couldn't get this paralytic person to Jesus. And so four people got together and solved the problem. They got this paralytic up on the roof. They ripped the roof open and lowered him down in front of Jesus. I love this story about tenacity and persistence in healing. It is hard to let others carry you, even when you know how much you need it. And it is hard to carry others, to lift them up and then to lower them in front of Christ. What persistence and what confidence they had that Jesus could heal. There's a strong sense of urgency in this story. They didn't just wait for Jesus to finish speaking and the crowd, to wander away. They had to get to Jesus right now. They couldn't wait, so they went up on the roof. Butterflies have some of that urgency too. As we're told, butterflies don't live very long, and Henry's right. They only have a couple weeks, and they have a lot to do. They've got to travel, they've got to be nourished, and they've got a job of making new butterflies. Monarchs travel a very long ways, from Mexico to Canada, and they actually do it over multiple generations. They do it over four generations, going farther each time, until that last generation miraculously lives not weeks but months and migrates all the way back to the very same spot in Mexico. Sometimes we can feel urgency in our own healing. Is it like that for you? That you feel urgent in your healing? That it just can't wait? Are you like that paralytic, stuck on land but needing help? Are you like those roof breakers, ready to bring others close to Jesus where healing happens? Those roof breakers didn't do the healing. They didn't force healing on the paralytic, but they were a critical part of the story. And they had to be creative with a powerful vision of Jesus' healing power. And you might be thinking, hold on, I was listening, and it never said Jesus healed, it said Jesus forgave sins. The religion scholars were listening too. And they said, hang on, you said that you're forgiving sins. And they got upset, but maybe not for the reason that we would at first assume. At Jesus' time, people believed that things like paralysis were caused by sin. Your sin, or your parents' sin, or your grandparents' sin. It was like a spiritual victim blaming. And while we no longer think paralysis is caused by sin, we do still do victim blaming. It was not too long ago that what a woman wore was admissible in court in rape cases. Victim blaming. I've heard it said, well, that guy shouldn't have moved so fast, and then the police wouldn't have shot him. Victim blaming. She shouldn't have been drinking. He shouldn't have been in that part of town. Victim blaming. So the idea that the paralytic was at fault was commonly held. What was not commonly held was that a person could forgive sins. The religion scholars, that's why they were upset, because they said, wait a minute, only God can forgive sin. As the reader, as the person of faith, we immediately see the irony. Only God can forgive sin. And there's Jesus forgiving sin. Waiting for you to connect the dots. We see it, that there was God forgiving sin. Well, Jesus jumps in to help these scholars out, and he says, what's easier, to say your sin is forgiven or to say pick up your mat and walk? I'll do both. So Jesus says, stand up and walk. And that paralytic stood up and walked. Walked. The paralytic had a mission, healing and strength and movement. Those roof breakers had a mission, get him to Christ who could heal him. And Jesus had a mission, heal and forgive. Jesus still has that same mission with us today, heal and forgive. The butterfly has a mission when it launches into the air, a mission with urgency. When we emerge from darkness, when we let go, God unwraps us, unfolds us, opens us to the light, and we find our mission as we fly, as God calls us to new heights. Maya Angelou knew a thing or two about that. She was born black in the South in 1928. Her family life was precarious, which is typical of folks living in oppression. When she was 8 years old, she was brutalized by her mother's boyfriend. And she told. He spent one day in jail. 4 days later, he was murdered, probably by her uncles. Well, in her immature thinking, she thought, my voice got him killed. And so she stopped talking. Now, it's not uncommon for victims of severe trauma to stop speaking, that any kind of expression becomes more than they can endure, and silence becomes their safety. It was for Maya, it was a cocoon that she stayed in while God healed her heart and soul. It was during those unspeaking years that she started reading great poets, that she developed this deep love for literature and for books. Her voice was powerful, but not like she thought. And she went on to become one of the greatest American poets. How many have heard of Maya Angelou? I'm telling you about someone you know. Here she is reciting one of her most famous poems, Still I Rise.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom just because I walk as if I have oil wells pumping in my living room? Just like suns and like moons with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my sassiness upset you? Don't take it so hard just because I laugh. As if I have gold mines digging in my own backyard. You can shoot me with your words. You can cut me with your lies. You can kill me with your hatefulness. But just like life, I'll rise. Does my sexiness offend you? Oh, does it come as a surprise that I dance? As if I have diamonds at the meeting of my thighs. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past rooted in pain, I rise. A black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide. Leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak miraculously clear, I rise. Bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the hope and the dream of the slave. And so, naturally. There I go rising.
A poem back there if you like, if you'd like to have it. Naturally. Naturally with God, we rise. The butterfly takes flight. The human being called into new life by God rises to new heights. May your unfurled life be healed. And may God call you to heights you never dreamed of. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.